the Rise Up See Red podcast, all about the Arizona Cardinals and the NFL, featuring insider and outsider perspectives. Enjoy the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Now here are your hosts, Jess Root and Seth Cox.
Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Rise Up Secret podcast, the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. I'm your host, Jess Root from CardsWire.com, the USA Today NFL wire site that covers, of course, your Arizona Cardinals. This, our second show of the week, has co-host Seth Cox from Revenge of the Birds, SB Nation's Arizona Cardinals site, with me, also one of the hosts of the original Draft Breakdown podcast. Currently a little bit on hiatus right now as they're trying to figure things out with the co-host Justin Higdon and his schedule, but we are in the second show, episode 549, second show of our week, in which we are focused on the NFC West, and it is the second of our NFC West ranking show, and this time we're focusing on the defensive side of the ball, Seth. We covered the offense, and we're, you know, we're wrapping. This is the holiday weekend. You've got nice, we're going to relax, and then and this is the last you're going to hear of Seth for just a couple of weeks as we gear up for training camp, right?
Yeah, it's going to be a busy time. I'm heading up to my first, as a coach, high school football camp. So that'll be interesting. But also, you know, then we kind of get into the run-up, but no information run up as you get into, you know, the 2024 season. And I'm excited, man. Like we talked about last show, this is just such an interesting training camp. I mean, this really reminds me about like 2013-14, Bruce Arians camp, where you're trying to, you know, just figure out what these guys are, what they want, how they want to do things.
And we get Kyler for the full time. That's the thing that I think that's probably the most important is last year we were like, well, especially because it was washed up McCoy, Clayton Tune, and then they traded suddenly for Josh Dobbs. And so we were completely taken aback by their plan at quarterback. And now we get to see Kyler run things the entire time.
Yeah, and you know, it's going to be interesting because I think there is this reality that they're trying to figure out, you know, is Kyler the guy? And everything coming out, everything we've heard from both sides, it seems like there is a happy marriage there, but you know, it's the response that we've talked about the entire time. It's time for wins now. Doesn't mean they have to go win a Super Bowl this year, but they have to be competitive in the playoff picture in week 17 and 18. And then you kind of go from there, because as we're about to get into, Jess, this team is still in progress, especially on the defensive side of the ball. So expect them to be a playoff team, and not just a playoff team, but somebody that could do damage in the playoffs, is unfair. Now, to expect them to compete for that ability, is there's nothing wrong with that. But if you are going in with the expectation that this is a team that's going to threaten, you know, a healthy San Francisco 49ers to win the division and compete for the top spot in the NFC, I think you're a year ahead of schedule, but there's nothing wrong with looking towards things as it's progressing the right way. And that'll be, you know, kind of the key to this season.
And with that, we will start with the NFC West rankings. We're on defense. We're going to group things up front seven. Then we'll do the secondary, and then we'll do special teams and coaching. But as we did the last show, we'll kind of take a look. We'll rank the individual players in the division at positions, and then which position groups, team wise, do we what in order would we put them? So we'll start with the defensive interior. We seem to kind of be now down to, I mean, the defensive schemes are changing a little bit, but we'll focus rather than just defensive line, we'll do defensive interior since the edge changes position depending on the team. 49ers have defensive end. Cardinals have outside linebacker. Seattle moved outside linebacker. So we'll just do defensive interior. Now, for you, Seth, I think it's going to come down to two players who we rank individually at number one. Do you put Leonard Williams or Javon Hargrave at your number one spot?
It's tough, man. And I think the way you look at it, right now it has to be Javon Hargrave. And that's not a shot at Leonard Williams. But like you said, they're kind of 1A, 1B in the sense of what they've done. You know, Williams is a little bit younger. Hargrave has been a better player more consistently, but, you know, it's always tough as you get to this age, you know, for guys to continue on in that way. I mean, he's going to be 30, or he just turned 31. To expect him to continue to be, you know, a dominant pass rusher, and we saw his run defense fall off last year, just a touch. I still give it to Hargrave, but I definitely acknowledge that, Leonard Williams is right on his heels.
Yeah, I would agree. I put Hargrave a tick ahead of Williams, and I think that it has to do with the fact that I believe it, both are right there at that age 30 mark. Williams had 5.5 sacks last season. He's had a high of 11.5. Hargrave was, I'm not quite sure what exactly happened with him last year. He had 7 sacks, but he looked so dominant. He's coming off an 11 sack year, 2022, had 7 sacks last year. I think I might say that perhaps Leonard Williams is the better, like is the overall better run defender, but Hargrave is definitely a better pass rusher. I'm going to give him just a little bit of an edge there. So I give it Hargrave, then Williams. After Williams, who do you go with your number three in the division?
You know, again, it's tough. I mean, you look at it, you've got three rookies, right, that are interesting, Byron Murphy, Braden Fisk, and of course Darius Robinson. But can you put those guys over a player like Malik Collins, right, who just signed with the 49ers this year? You know, it's tough. This is a tough one because,
well, and what's funny, you forgot to mention, guess who's not number one anymore? No, Aaron Donald, because he retired. So
right, exactly. And so that's the thing, is that this used to be really easy. It used to be, okay, who's the second best defensive lineman in this group? And that makes it tough. So I think for me, I would go Collins only because, again, he's done it. I expect that to be incredibly short-lived.
For me, actually, I go a different direction as the guy that's next, and that's Jaron Reed. Collins, I actually put him just ahead of the Cardinals guys. So I got Jaron Reed, who, as we remember a few years back, was just incredibly productive as a pass rusher. Had 10.5 sacks back in 2018, but then followed that up in his return to Seattle with 7 sacks, 12 quarterback hits, 7 tackles for loss. And so Malik Collins, what we get from him, he had 5 sacks last year. He had 3.5, so his high is 5, and he's played a while. And so I give Jaron Reed the edge over Collins, and even give I put Collins behind the Rams' new up-and-comer from last year, Kobe Turner.
Now, Kobe Turner. Yeah, and the hard part with Turner is, you know,
yeah, did he get the production because of Aaron Donald?
Right. You want to see him as the guy this year. Like, that's the only thing with him. But, I mean, you look at this, it's tough because this is, you know, it's obvious, you know, as you stated, it's two guys at the top. And then from there, it's okay, show me what you got. You know, Jaron Reed is probably the most decorated, you know, another guy that we haven't mentioned yet that's extremely talented, but coming off, you know, a mediocre year is Draymond Jones, right? Like, Jones went from being a guy that had 6.5, 5.5, 6.5 sacks to 4.5 sacks in Seattle. So the question becomes, was that a product of Seattle's defense? And now that he's under Mike McDonald, is that going to look different? Or is that, you know, one of those situations where he was, he was asked or paid like the guy, and now he's struggling to get back to what he was. And so, and that's something we see all the time. I mean, you mentioned, again, the guy that you and I would have as the, you know, no doubt one or two in the division, you can ask the same thing. And it's not that Javon Hargrave, you've ever questioned his work ethic. It's just, once these guys get paid, once they get to a certain age, it becomes a lot different because, and especially guys like Jones, who they're like, oh, this is my one big contract, right? Like,
yeah,
I got my one big contract. We'll see how it goes from there. But, you know, this is a really interesting division because the Cardinals, I think overall, there's really not a question that they are the worst interior defensive line heading into the season.
You know, it's what's crazy. So where do I put Justin Jones and Bilal Nichols? This is how my order goes like this. I go Hargrave, Williams, Jaron Reed, Kobe Turner, Malik Conan, Collins. I actually put Justin Jones and Bilal Nichols just ahead of Draymond. There's like, I love the solid consistency out of both those players. And then I put all three of the rookies. Rookies at the very, very end. But here's the interesting thing. Because the Cardinals have solid consistency in terms of Justin Jones and Bilal Nichols, and you add Darius Robinson, you add Dante, those other guys, I actually rank them ahead of the Rams on their interior because it's Kobe Turner, you know, great year one, and, okay, now you've got to prove it.
Yeah, and that's fair. I would, you know, you look at this, it's tough, and overall this is a lot of projection outside of San Francisco, Seattle. I mean, San Francisco, Seattle's, I would put Seattle at one. Just because, like you said, like the Malik Collins thing is where I struggle because I've seen him obviously be good. We've seen him be not good. But now he's older. I mean, he just turned 29. He is coming off a really good season in Houston and obviously going to San Francisco from Houston. They're not running the same system, but we see a lot of similarities. So maybe that continues, right? But I mean, the 2 years previous to that, he had as many sacks as he did last year. Actually, the 3 years, because in 2020, he had no sacks whatsoever. So, like, that's the issue you have is, like, where does this guy fit in? I think the consistency, and then, again, the Hargrave question, like, he's going to be 32. That's old for a interior defensive lineman. And we saw the start of the regression last year, as you mentioned. So, you know, I would say Seattle's front.
I agree. I have Seattle for as me, number one.
For me would be your, like, top. San Francisco would be number two. And I would put this of there's a chance that they start to fall off after this year or during this year, just from in terms of production turnover. I mean, you know, again, Hargrave and Collins I like. But Kevin Givens, Jordan Elliott, you know, they really don't have anything in the system. They've invested quite a bit in their linebackers and their edge players. But in the system along the defensive line, it's all of it has been free agency and undrafted free agency out of the thing. So it's really weird to see that from San Francisco with how well they've done in terms of everywhere else. The other thing you throw in with Seattle that I think needs to be mentioned is we both mentioned Byron Murphy. They chose him in the first round. And then Jonathan Hankins, who's a pros pro. I mean, he's had similar success to like a Bilal Nichols, right? Yeah. So like that four-man rotation that Seattle offers, I think just, I don't want to say gives them because that, you know, but like that puts them number one with the bullet. I would say the top two for San Francisco are probably have the chance to be the most dynamic pass rushing top two. And then it's just a, like, do you believe in Los Angeles being able to turn over after having one of the greatest players ever leave? Like you said, Kobe Turner's got to show it now. Like he's got to be the guy now. And with the Cardinals, and you know, this was interesting because I wrote about it yesterday. The Cardinals are literally considered the worst defensive line in the NFL. And I don't necessarily.
Why?
Yeah, exactly. I don't necessarily have a problem with that until they show it. I mean, we love their top five. I mean, I think we're very excited about what
love as in comfortable. Not right. Like they're going to be top 10, but just
the
compared to what they were running out there the end of last season. Ooh, oh my God.
Yeah. Well, and you think about it. I mean, their top five, if it's Robinson, Nichols, Jones, Collier, Stills, you feel really comfortable with that because outside of Stills, none of those guys were there last year. Because the next group of Stills, Stilly, Lopez, and Naquan Jones were all here last year, and you were like,
they by the end of the year, they were starting guys that you would want as your last and Patrick squatters, and literally as those guys they trot up the street. But of the rookies, how do you, like, I kind of copped out and went that the way I rank the rookies is the way they were drafted in terms of what I think they're at. Byron Murphy, Darius Robinson, Braden Fisk. Fisk, who I loved, but as we talked about heading into the draft, you know, how did he perform? Last year was fantastic, but he's old. He, like, the ESPN released their like under 25 team. Braden Fisk is gold. Darius Robinson and Byron Murphy. Murphy has the highest, I believe, upside that people are banking on, even if he didn't have the production, while Robinson has the versatility plus production. We want to see what he can do on the interior and the pros, but nobody doubts his athleticism. Nobody doubts the growth that he has. And so in terms of the back end of what I ranked, I did put it Murphy, Robinson, Fisk.
Yeah, and I think I would, and you know, without being obtuse, I mean, that's how the NFL saw it too, right? So like, for now, you know, Murphy was drafted first, Robinson was drafted second, and Fisk was drafted third. So
I know it's a cop out, but yeah, it makes sense to go that way, and that's the way they were viewed.
Well, and again, this is just, I mean, the overall thing is that they've got, I mean, the Rams have at least one guy who has had a massively productive season in Kobe Turner. The Cardinals have two guys who have been steady, if unspectacular, pros. And the question becomes who gets the next step. Like, does Turner continue to be a 7 to 9 sack guy? Can Nichols Jones turn into, you know, six to eight sack guys?
And I believe that the addition of Jones, the way they paid him, they believe he can after, because his pass rushing production took a big bump last year, not just in sacks, but also in pressures and hits. And so I think as when the Cardinals signed him, that was an upside signing, I think, in part.
I agree.
We go to the edge. Side of things, so the pass rushers. I don't think let's talk about the groups overall before we go to individuals. I think we can safely say that the Cardinals edge group, we're going to put at the bottom because they have proven absolutely nothing. I've got San Francisco at the top, but that and I think they actually have the two best overall pass rushers in Nick Bosa and Leonard Floyd, followed by the Rams, followed by the Seahawks, then the Cardinals. And then we can play around with the rankings. How'd you rank the teams? And then let's get into the individuals.
Yeah, you know, you look at it, I would agree with your rankings. You know, Seattle's interesting because Boye Mafe looked good last year. They got Daryl Taylor, who has been solid if unspectacular. And then you have the Rams who, you know, they don't really have anybody yet, but you like what they put on paper. I would go obviously San Francisco number one with a bullet, and then number two I would go with Seattle. I would go Los Angeles three. And the funny thing is, because of who the Rams on their depth chart right now list as their starters, you could almost make the case that the Cardinals are in a better position than the Rams. Now, there's an expectation that Jared Verse, who we'll talk about in a little bit, is going to be very good. But, I mean, the guys right after him, O'Shawn Mathis, Michael Holt, DeJon Johnson, like, none of those guys strike fear in anybody. And that's not to say that, you know, Zaven Collins and B.J. Ogilary strike fear in anybody. But Zaven Collins and B.J. Ogilary have at least had success in the NFL where these other guys have not.
Yeah. So would you agree that after Bosa, because there's no question that Bosa is number one, that Leonard Floyd would be your number two?
You know, I would either go Leonard or Boye Mafe. It's a toss-up for me. I think they're on the opposite ends of the spectrum in terms of, you know, Leonard's at the very end of his career. He'll be 32 when the season starts. Obviously coming off a really, really solid 10.5 sack season. But that was in Buffalo. So now he'll be 32. Can he follow it up in San Francisco? The last 4 years, I mean, with Leonard Floyd, you're talking about a guy that has 40 sacks. So he's been fantastic, right? Yeah. Like 40 sacks in 4 seasons. The Cardinals would love to have anybody on their roster that could do that. You know, but Mafe on the flip side, and again, not to overstate it, but he's coming off a 9-sack season. Yeah. And in his second year, you know, he's the Seahawks and Mike McDonald are in love with him. We talked about him a lot in the draft process this year because of how many guys comped out athletically, especially to him. And you know, especially those day two pass rushers that need a year to get acquainted before they start making an impact. I would give the slight nod to Floyd because I want to see Mafe do it a second time. But man, I like that. I like that kid. I think he's going to be good. And it is worrisome now that they have a guy like McDonald who's, you know, as great as Pete Carroll has been and was, you could tell he kind of had lost his fastball on defense the last several years.
Yeah, absolutely. I actually, the player that I really, really like that I actually put just ahead of Mafe. So I go Bosa, Floyd, is the Rams' Byron Murphy. I don't know what the Rams did, but to go from aging to having young potential top-end talent at so many different positions, including Byron Murphy, who had 8 sacks as a rookie, I put him just ahead of Mafe. Maybe that's probably, you know, changing schemes like the Seahawks are doing. Mafe probably will be will probably go with the edge there. And so I go Bosa, Floyd, Murphy, Mafe. From there, I go...
And it's Byron Young.
Byron Young. Yes. Young. I knew that. I don't know, but I wrote it Murphy after I wrote Murphy for this. Yes, Byron Young. Byron Young, the talented edge player who started slowly but then became very, very good last year. The production they got out of Murphy and Turner last year
was insane. I mean, to get again, like you said, to get guys 17 sacks out of rookies is, again, the Cardinals would love to get 17 sacks out of two veterans, like to get seven. And again, I don't mean to take shots at like Michael Holt. Like I said, I mean, that guy had six sacks last year. He would have led the Cardinals in sacks. But, you know, he doesn't strike fear in anybody. You're hoping that Ojulari, with a full offseason, full training camp, comes into the season healthy, can be a 7+ sack guy this year.
Yeah.
And look like it.
I put Jared Verse next, followed by Daryl Taylor, Uchenna-Nwosu, and then I put Ojulari and Collins at the back. And I didn't even mention Gardeck. I know Dennis Gardeck led the team in sacks, but especially as you look at this year, the bulk of the playing time should go to Collins and Ojulari is what we're expecting.
I was going to say, they're hoping that he's literally just a pass rusher and plays 10 snaps a game. Like, and then if he still has that insanely productive season, you know, then you can talk about it. The interesting thing about Nwosu, you know, he's coming off 9.5 sacks in 2022, signing the big contract, gets injured last year. And so how does he rebound coming off that injury, right? Like, he only played six games. In those six games, he was highly, highly disappointing with only two sacks.
Well, and even, like, he's been good, but he's sort of been a, like, that 9.5 sacks in 2022 was anomalous for the rest of his career, because he's been, other than 2022, was very solid, but unspectacular.
Four and a half sack, five sack type of guy, and that's, you know, that's what the question becomes. Is he a guy that can do more?
We move on to the linebacker groups, the off-the-ball guys. And here's how I rank the linebackers, just team-wise. I think clearly number one, you still go San Francisco. I put the Rams next. I put the Cardinals ahead of Seattle, but that is out of uncertainty because they have brand new linebackers in Seattle. And I really, really, really like Kaiser White. And I think that second position, it's just kind of sure. But I think White is good enough that I like what he has to offer. But I put the Cardinals above Seattle in the linebacker department, with obviously San Francisco ahead of the Rams. But I believe the Rams actually at linebacker are very underrated in terms of their linebacker play.
Well, you know, you look at it, so I would agree with you on that. Obviously, the big caveat is you know, Dre Greenlaw's health coming off that unfortunate injury in the Super Bowl.
I still put him at number two. I mean, even though he might not play this year, he's number two behind Fred Warner.
Because right.
Fred Warner is clearly the number one.
And he's probably, you know, the best linebacker in the NFL, so it makes sense. You know, you mentioned Seattle, right? They've got Tyrell Dodson and Jerome Baker, both who've been good. I wouldn't say great in their respective time in the NFL. It's interesting because you've got guys in terms of talent kind of all over the place, right? I mean, you mentioned the Niners. They're number one. They've got a little cushion with Greenlaw because they have former Arizona Cardinal great Devondre Campbell, right? So we'll see how that works out for them. And then the Seahawks, you know, with Dotson and Baker, the question I have is both of those guys are coming off career years. Now, again, Mike McDonald's scheme could change things, or are these guys that, you know, are fill-ins, not fill-ins, but until they get there, until they get the guys that, that McDonald really needs to run his scheme, right? I mean, yeah. that's the question with those guys. The Rams group, Ernest Young's been a thorn in the – Ernest Jones, yes. has been a thorn in the Cardinals' side.
I kept the
forever.
Murphy for the way you take yeah. Young for the extra position. That's, we're dumb guys, sorry.
Yeah, well, when you're staring at all the names, it starts to, you start to get, you know, cross-eyed. But the thing is, you know, Jones, is a young guy that has played really well in his seasons, you know, with the Rams. He's coming into his fourth season, coming off, you know, kind of a career year in terms of productivity. But their next guy in Christian Roseboom is what you would kind of identify, again, as kind of just solid, right?
Yes.
But he had a very solid 2023. But again, now you're saying, okay, do you rank, you know, you mentioned it. You've got the 49ers guys at 1 and 2. So who's 3? Is it Kaiser White?
I put Ernest Jones ahead of White, but then it's Kaiser.
Right.
Then so Devondre Campbell, then Roseboom.
Okay. So you know, I would, that's why it gets hard. You know, where do you slot in Baker? I briefly mentioned, and that's the hard part, you know, like Tyrell Dotson, he has been a bench guy his whole career.
Yeah.
And then he came up and had a really, really nice season in Buffalo in 10 starts. But, I mean, that was, again, a career year. So you're talking about he played 51% of the snaps for the first time in his career. His highest before that was 26 as a rookie. I want to see more of it. And that's not a shot at either Baker or Dotson. It's just like, and you have to love the scheme that they're going into,
yes,
right? Like,
that is absolutely certain that they're going to, they will probably have very, very, very productive seasons, but being new, not having the, you know, the lasting production, that's why I put them at the back, except for Mac Wilson, who has even less,
right.
Who is even less proven in that sense. I put him at the very, very back end. Although I'm kind of bullish on Wilson as that second guy. Like, if you like what Josh Woods did last year, I think Mac Wilson is a much better linebacker talent than Josh Woods.
Yeah, and that's the hope, right?
Coming in next on the Rise of Spirit podcast, best our Cardinals talk, and let's move on to the secondary, talk about cornerbacks and safeties. That's coming next on Rise of Spirit. We're back at the Rise of Spirit podcast, best our Cardinals talk on the web. Let's start with the secondary. We go with the cornerback positions as a group. I think it's fairly close, but I'm going to give the edge to Seattle because I like their top end. I like their top two. Just a touch more than I like the top two of the 49ers. So I go Seattle, San Fran, Rams, unproven, and Cardinals, definitely unproven.
Yeah, I think that's, again, kind of a fair ranking system. I mean, you've got the unquestioned top two. I mean, you can say you can flip them, like you said, with the 49ers. They probably have the most proven guy in Charvarius Ward.
And he's my number one.
Yeah. And it makes sense. But then the next two guys are Seattle guys, right? You have, yes, Tariq Woolen, who kind of had a down year last year. And then Devon Witherspoon, who was phenomenal. But, you know, again.
Do you do Witherspoon Woolen or Woolen Witherspoon?
I probably do Witherspoon Woolen, just coming off of what we saw last year. And then it gets interesting, right? So then you've got You probably would still, because again, you're talking about having done it, you would probably still put Diamante Lenore as the fourth guy.
I put Tre'Davious White. I know
it's tough just because of the injuries. Like, you know, is White better when healthy? 1,000%.
That's the question, is can White do it still? I put him ahead of Lenore, and then I follow Lenore with Sean Murphy Bunting, then Ambry Thomas, and then Darius Williams, Garrett Williams.
Yeah, and I think that's probably accurate. I would probably put Lenore ahead of White just for now. I mean, and again, I'm a big Tre'Davious White fan. We're talking about a guy that's, you know, a two-time All-Pro, but since his last All-Pro season, he's played in 21 games in 3 years. But, you know, in those 21 games, he's got, you know, 15 passes defensed and 3 interceptions. So when he plays, still very good.
Yes, it's just like,
hey, can you please, you know, half a season, maybe a full season.
But he plays for the Rams, so honestly, it's okay. You can get right. hurt. It's fine. That's collect your paycheck. Don't have some devastating injury. Be nicked up and yeah. Then Cardinals
go out. Yeah, right off into the sunset. But yeah, so it's tough. I mean, but I think you would, you know, like you said, it's you flip a coin on what you like better in San Francisco or Seattle. You know, like you said, you prefer Seattle's young, high ceiling group.
Top two, yes. Well, yeah, I think Ward is above. But the fact that I put
yeah, you're Lenore, not a huge Lenore fan, which is
right. I like understandable. Him, but like, would I take Lenore over Witherspoon, Woolen? Maybe Tre'Davious White, maybe, but not a healthy Tre'Davious White.
Exactly, and so you know, so you go those guys. The question becomes for me is, you know, with the Rams. You mentioned you have Tre'Davious White and then you have Darius Williams. Williams is a guy that's interesting because I don't know. I mean, obviously heading into the season, and that's no shot at Max Melton or Garrett Williams, you would probably have Darius Williams penciled in as the Cardinals' number two cornerback. But again, we're talking about a guy that.
Who was only good with the Rams.
Right. And
he was great with the Rams, not so great in Cleveland or Jacksonville.
Right. So it'll be interesting to see how this works out because I just, you know, White and Williams is on paper really good. But in terms of having done it, there's going to be a lot of proving they need to do.
Well, and then we just know that the Cardinals are so, so young. At quarterback, right. It's absurd because it's Sean Murphy Bunting and then a bunch of guys that are second year players or rookies and yes they have guys like Darren Hall and, you know on the roster who've done it before who've actually played, but nobody expects those guys to make the roster. We figure that that's going to be part of the young core: Garrett Williams, Ketrell Clark, maybe Star Thomas, Max Melton, Elijah Jones, and that doesn't even count like Jaden Davis. Like where he going to be? I don't think he's going to make the roster. Then we go on to safety. Guess what? I don't have like the Cardinals safety duo. I have them as third.
Yeah, this is, I think, something that people probably don't understand. I mean, you start off with, I mean, if Talona Hufanga is healthy, he's a monster, right?
Yes. Like, and Jair Brown was fantastic.
So you're talking about probably the top group.
Yes, I do put San Francisco at number one.
You know, from there you look at it. Again, I don't know how familiar people are, but the Seahawks had an incredible group with Julian Love and who's their other safety? And they brought in a new safety.
Yeah,
right?
they cut Jamal Adams. They cut Quandre Diggs. Diggs is fantastic, but they moved on from him. And guess what? Julian Love, he's really, really, really good. In fact, I have him as the number one safety in the division.
And you look at it, you know, they've got Rayshon Jenkins coming in. Interesting that the NFC West is becoming a haven for former Jacks players, right? and he was good last year, coming off, you know, a career year. So it'll be interesting again where he fits in. But you mentioned Hufanga, you mentioned Brown, and then you got, you know, obviously Buddha and Jalen. And so the biggest question you have with those guys was that they just didn't live up to their pay last year.
Right. And I will say this, I still put Baker, and this is my, I think this is the most, this is the homers thing I've done on all these rankings, but I put Baker at number two behind Love. I still think he's that good. Last year, the injuries aside, I still think he has that type of impact. So I go Love, Baker, Hufanga, Jair Brown, Rayshon Jenkins, and then Jalen Thompson. And then the two Rams safeties that probably you guys haven't heard of because, okay, Cameron Curl, heard of. Russ Yeast, I don't know who that is.
Yeah, and so that'll be what's interesting. You know, it's funny the juxtaposition but similarities in what the Cardinals and Rams are doing, right? Like, the Cardinals are going – super young, especially at the corner position, with some obviously the veteran safeties. The Rams have guys in Cameron Curl. Curl came over from the Washington Commanders, had a career season in 2022, and now they're trying to, you know, recreate that. But that's asking a lot, right, for a guy that's only done it 1 year. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Coming up next on the Rise Up Sierra podcast, the best our Cardinals talk a little bit. Let's go to special teams and the coaching. How do we line things up there? That's coming up next on Rise Up Sierra. We're back on the Rise Up Sierra podcast, the best our Cardinals talk on the web. I want to talk pickers, punters. I'm not going to worry about the return game because that's still there's still so much to be unsure about in the return game. And then we'll talk coaches. But at kicker, this is where the Cardinals win. I'd pick Matt Prater over the other three kickers. Jason Myers, okay, he's right behind Prater for me. So, but I definitely still say Prater, unless that missed kick at the end of the last game is foreshadowing falling off the cliff, which I don't think. So I still take Prater, then I go Brett Myers. And then even with some rookie struggles last year, I'll take Jake Moody over the Rams rookie Cardi.
Yeah.
And I don't know who that is.
Right, exactly. So I think everybody would agree with that. Punting's, you know, interesting because Gillikin had a great year, but man, the Cardinals are in a division with some monsters at punter, right?
Yeah. Do you do Wisnowski or Dixon first?
I'd probably go Dixon, but I mean, it's a coin flip. They're clearly one and two.
I did Wisnowski, Dixon, in that order,
and then Gillikin.
And then Gillikin, and then, you know, Evans, who is, he was a rookie last year. So
right.
And the Gillikin, like, here's the thing. He came out of nowhere because, remember, we were talking about, you know, we had Matt Hawk and Nolan Cooney, and we all thought that Hawk was going to win the job. Then Cooney just completely blew him, just was great in the preseason, and then promptly was awful to start the season. And then Blake Gillikin, we're like, who? And then he set team records and stuff like that. So that he finally got an opportunity to shine, and he did. So good for him. And then got two-year contract, which is nice.
Exactly. That's all you can ask for those guys.
I still think in terms of returners, like if you look at who's listed on those ESPN depth charts, I think DJ Dallas, the Cardinals guy, new guy, probably is the best, but I don't know. That's why I'm like, return game. Let's talk about the coaches. Okay. Who do you have number one? Is it McVay or is it Shanahan for you?
I'd probably go Shanahan, although McVay has shown that he can do more with less thus far.
That's why I put McVay ahead of him, because Shanahan, as good as he is, like, look at the talent he's got. We've seen McVay go from having all the talent to all the talent to, you know, down year, but then remaking, like, kind of changing philosophy with getting Kyron Williams and the type of passing game that they had, and then defensively see these young players. I think Sean McVay is just ahead of Shanahan in my mind. I'm not to say that's not taking anything away from Shanahan, but we also saw that Shanahan's success has been with exactly two quarterbacks.
Yeah, that's true.
It was Jimmy Garoppolo and Brock Purdy. I think everyone agrees that the 49ers are expected to be better than the Rams, but the Rams are, even as a playoff team last year, are an ascending team at this point. Depending on, like, if Matthew Stafford staying fine, because the talent around him is ascending and it's young.
Yeah, and that's, you know, again, you're looking at seeing how that works out, and the expectation is that it'll continue to work out, but at the same time, you also understand that these guys, you know, the cliff fall is quick with players over, you know, 35.
Yeah. And here's the thing. That's where, if Stafford gets hurt, guess who they have? They have Garoppolo, who in a similar offensive system, guess what? Was really, really, really good.
Yeah, so we'll see how that all works out, right?
And then, of course, I don't think that we'll probably won't disagree with this. Gannon, we're going to put ahead of Mike McDonald, mainly because we saw what Gannon did last year. And McDonald, as great a defensive coordinator he was the last 2 years in Baltimore, Gannon also looked like a fantastic defensive coordinator in Philly, even though they hated him. but
well, and we've also seen a plethora of guys come in and not be able to do the next step.
Yeah,
and that's,
so McDonald, he's the question mark right now.
Correct.
And with that, I think we can all say that. Now, looking toward the season, 49ers and then the Rams are kind of the 1-2. On paper, you probably put Seattle ahead of Arizona, but there is the potential for the Cardinals to pass the Seahawks, because new coach, new defensive scheme, Geno Smith is older, Kyler Murray's coming back for the Cardinals. So we know who 1-2 is going to be. We know who 3-4 is going to be. It's just the question of which order at the end of the year, whether it'll be Arizona, Seattle, Seattle, Arizona. We're hoping that the Cardinals can overtake Seattle this year, right?
Yeah, and you honestly are hoping that they're able to put a fight with the Rams to be number two in the division this year.
That would be fun. And with that, we will wrap up this edition of the Rise of Spirit podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web. The next couple of weeks will be a lot of opponent preview shows. Seth and I will be back, the two of us, to preview training camp in a couple of weeks. But until then, enjoy the opponent preview series. That's Seth Cox. I'm Jess Root. Thanks for listening. As always, we'll be back again soon.
Thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Rise Up See Red podcast. Listen to previous episodes and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Audioboom, or many other podcast platforms, so shows are delivered directly to your mobile device. Please give the show a 5-star rating and always support the sponsors who support the show. We'll be back soon for the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Rise up, Red Sea, be Red Sea Red, and of course, Rise Up, Sea Red.